thank you for joining this week's DriveCast. My name is Dustin Yankowski, and I'm a Campus Life pastor at our Westerville location. This past Sunday was Mother's Day, and on Mother's Day, we had Luke 14, verses 25 through 27 as our focus, and that reads, "Now great crowds accompanied him," Jesus, "and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.'" And we talked about the nature of that verse, having father and mother and hating them in that on Mother's Day. And we just felt that tension together, right? And so we said, well, Jesus says that, but is he really saying that to hate, right? And it can't be, right? Because there's too many other verses out there. One of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. Ephesians 6, Paul in the New Testament affirms that. And Jesus, Mark 7, slams the Pharisees and upholds the goodness of honoring and caring for your parents. And even in his last moments on the cross, Jesus is caring for his own mother, right? And so what is he saying? He can't be saying hate. There's too many other verses out there that say the opposite, that command us to do the opposite. And what he really is saying is this: do the strongest relationships on earth, do you so strongly prefer me to them that they look like hate in comparison? Do you love me like that? And that's a pretty searching question, right? To ask ourselves, do I love Jesus like that? It's a wonderful heart check. And so what Jesus is focused on is what the Bible calls idolatry. Idolatry is the essence of all sin, to turn from Jesus, to turn from God to something else in his place, to hope for something more than him, to trust in something more than him, to long for something more than him, to give your heart to that thing instead of him. I mean, it's the first commandment, right? To have no other gods before me. And none of us have ever gotten past the first one. John Calvin said that our hearts are perpetual idol factories. Idolatry is the consistent theme with God's people in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and now. It's not just a problem for some. It is the main problem that you and I have spiritually. It's the single greatest threat to our spiritual growth. If you're in a season where you're feeling like you're in a spiritual plateau, stuck in your faith, wondering why God feels distant, something else has become ultimate in your heart. Maybe at one time in your walk with Jesus, you feel like he had a blank check to your life. If he said jump, you were like, how high? And somewhere along the way, you got to a point where maybe you just can't even remember the last time you acted on faith, acted on trust of Jesus in your life. And you're wondering, how did I get there from here? You know, where did it change? Moving from strongly preferring Jesus to something else is most likely the reason. And paying attention to our hearts and the idols that grow inside, like weeds choking out spiritual life, it's never-ending work. But it's the best work we can give ourselves to, because the abundant life, spiritual growth, is on the other side. And so I just want to talk about two main ways that our idols attack. Right? And the two main ways our idol attack is our idols attack through identity, and they attack through priority. And so we looked at, the research that's been done by a university president named Neil McKinnon that says the average person wears 700 hats, 700 identities in their life. And those identities drive their behavior, their decisions, and how they see themselves. And so his book he wrote a book that postulates like, so with all those fragmented identities, is it possible to have one coherent identity, one stable identity for us to build our lives on? And the Bible emphatically answers that. Galatians 3, 26 through 28, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither now Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." So all those other identities that you put on, those hats, now they take a back seat to who you are in Christ. And so the reality is, if we have 700 identities, there's 699 of them, not our identity in Christ, that are trying to usurp first seat in our heart. We talked about that. We talked about, you know, hey, what's this mean for me as a man? What's this mean for me as a woman? What does this mean as me as a provider? What does this, you know, mean for me as a husband, as a wife? All these things, when those start to be the lens that we view our lives, those are clues that has become ultimate. That has become the lens in which we see our lives, drives our decisions, behaviors, how we see ourselves. And those take over who we are in Christ, our gospel identity. And then we talked about how idolatry also attacks through priorities. You know, Jesus, as the crowds were following in Luke, he says, do you love your father and mother more, son or daughter more, brother or sister more? Do you want what you want more? Who is your ultimate priority? You know, Pew Research did a study of Christians. So people who say, you know, identify as I'm following Jesus, and what priority in their life gives them the most meaning, the biggest priority. And just 29% said their faith. 29% said their relationship with Jesus. The number one priority, family. So it seems like Jesus knows what he's talking about 2,000 years ago when he brings up family in Luke, and it's relevant then and it's relevant now. So if you were to open up your heart today and look inside, what would you find as the heart's biggest priority? Not what you hope it would be, or what you want it to be, but what is. And my guess is most, if not all of us, would find something that St. Augustine called disordered loves, right? Good things, great things even, just in the wrong order. I don't think anybody's prioritizing evil things and bad things. It's just the good things have now become ultimate things, and when they're disordered. So when's the last time you opened the hood of your heart to search for what's trying to work its way in, what's already taken ground in there, what already has deeply entrenched itself as an idol? Are there standards that you find yourself regularly judging others? Oh, they are this kind of parent, or they are this kind of provider, they're this kind of friend or spouse. What lens do you look at when you look at people? What lens do you look through to judge them? And it's a good indicator of that identity could be an idol. Of all the hats, of all the identities you wear, is there one that if it crumbled or was threatened or was taken from you, you would feel like it would shake the very foundation of your life because it is the foundation of your life? Or on the priority side, where do you consistently overcommit yourself? Where do you put yourself on the edge of burnout? If we audited your calendar and your budget, the two biggest resources we have, just those two, what ultimate priority would they point to? What priority is on your heart that isn't on the heart of Jesus? And so it's never-ending work, but it's great work. Jesus is helping us. There's no condemnation in Jesus. He's not saying, hurry up and get this done. You know, look how I love you and look how you love me. No, he's here to help us. He works for our good. And he knows that those idols are choking life. They never deliver. They never can carry the weight of our worship and our life, but he can. So he's trying to replace false gods with himself. Because if you fail Jesus, he forgives. He walks with you. And then when you have him, you can never lose him, right? You know, nobody can snatch us from his hands. We are secure. And so the abundant life that we want, that our hearts want, is found in Christ as our firm foundation of our life. And that's just, that's what he wants for his children. That's what he's moving us towards. And so I just hope you feel encouraged. I know it's heavy work, it's weighty work, but it's good work. And so just thank you for joining this week's podcast, or this week's Drivecast, sorry. And I hope you have a good rest of your day.